Welcome to the show called Let's Talk Homeschool. I'm Davis, and I'm with Rachel, my wife. We are your hosts.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be with you again.
Today is episode number 18. Today's show is titled, The Early Morning School Bus. Are you ready? As you well know, Let's Talk Homeschool is a show about everything homeschooling. We're here to be laser-focused on that topic, discussing all the reasons why you should, all the reasons why you can. And then we have five key words that we like to hone in on. We want every show to do one of these things, and that's affirm, encourage, challenge, inspire, and celebrate with you all the amazing adventures that we get to share in this journey that we call home education.
We want to be for you what we never had. We want to be your coaches, your cheerleaders, your biggest fans. We want to root you on at the beginning, middle, and the end of your journey so that you can finish strong. We want to be your mentors who are further down the path. We've just started our 24th year. We don't just want you to merely survive. We want you to soar. We want you to persevere and thrive in all of the opportunities that homeschooling offers.
We believe that if there was ever a time to homeschool, it is now. The sponsor of this show is Apologia Educational Ministries. Their mission is to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the Christian faith. Apologia is the number one publisher of creation-based science and Bible curricula for homeschooling families with over 80 number one awards covering a time span of more than 12 years in a row. Now that's impressive. But more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA and the world. Go to apologia.com, a great place to explore creation. You can also go to homeschool-101 and sign up for email updates, the podcast update, and get all kinds of free information, blogs, videos, printables, downloadables, etc. All right, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. So once upon a time, as in 23 years ago, when we started this journey, we envisioned our kids getting on a little yellow school bus and going away for 6 to 7 luxurious hours of each weekday.
Yes, we did.
Now, I assume that people are aware that these buses pick up kids of all ages at a crazy early morning hour, often when the sun hasn't even risen yet. So, folks, would you put your 4 or 5-year-old on one of these vehicles driven by a stranger at 6-something in the morning? Rachel, what do you have to say about this?
I have to say about this that I regret the fact that I was one of those people who was more than happy. You know, Charles rode the bus the first, well, that's another story for another day, but I never met the bus driver. Did you meet the bus driver?
No.
It didn't occur to me to meet the bus driver. And we were perfectly happy for him to get on the
bus. It's what everybody did.
Right. It really never occurred to me, which is just shameful to admit. But even if I had shaken the person's hand, the fact that I would have been content, was content before we began this journey, I was content to put my son on a bus with a stranger and other little strangers and celebrate it. I think that was a good thing.
Well, right. Folks, if you want to listen to episode number 2, entitled Me Homeschool, that's where we share our story of homeschooling, or sending our oldest son to public school for the first 13 days, and then being hit over the head by a providential 2x4, by God's grace, and we got started on our homeschooling journey. But we sent our 5, almost 6-year-old child to school. I drove them, and then they rode a school bus back. At least that was the plan. Listen to episode 2 to hear the details. But yeah, we did that.
Yeah. And I think what you've hit on is what now, 24 years in, we forget. Mm-hmm. And that is everybody was doing it. So we were literally, we were lemmings, you know, out on the tundra, and all the other lemmings run by and we just start running with all the other lemmings. It didn't occur to us to stop and ask questions that we ought to stop and ask. And why don't you share with our listeners what you witnessed the other day? Because I think that's actually what inspired today's conversation.
Right, that's what brought about today's conversation is I'm outside of our house early morning, as in about 6:30 a.m., and I see the school bus drive into the neighborhood and begin its little circuit. And I was just reminded, as I was enjoying a pre-dawn morning, that, oh, that's right. The school bus comes into neighborhoods before the sun comes up. And it's not even, you know, getting late into the, we still got a lot of time before it's really dark at these hours. And young kids, 4, 5, and 6 year olds, get on these school buses.
Yeah, I mean, it's startling to me because I, you know, we're sort of nestled back in our neighborhood, and since you work from home, we're here, and obviously we homeschool, so we don't get out much, folks, which is glorious. But when I go run errands, or like yesterday, I met a friend for early morning prayer, and I'm coming home, and I'm seeing these little kids with their backs arched, with these heavy backpacks, standing in the dark, waiting for a bus, and I just think, what are we doing?
Really crossed my mind as I witnessed this myself is it's before most kids should be waking up and getting out of bed.
Yeah, I mean, the little kids need rest and they're not getting it. I listened to a TED Talk not that long ago, which I can't reference because I don't remember who it was. But study after study after study has proven that we need 7 to 8 hours of sleep minimum as adults, right? Kids need more than that, like 10 to 12 hours of sleep. So it's, you know, this is another example, Davis, of something that we know. Scientifically, we know this. It's not that we don't know. It's not that we have to wonder. We know what kids need. It's just this institutionalization of kids is not giving them what they need. We are chasing after the wind, in the words of Solomon. And we think that it's more important for them to get on a bus and do without that sleep and go off to some other building and be educated, then it's important for them to get their rest. And it's just not true.
So there's a lot of schools that know kids need to be prepared just physically before they can do any academic work. And often they'll give them a good meal and good clothes or shoes if in, you know, really extreme cases. But studies, as you have said, also show that rest is vital for the brain to process what it's learning, to be able to learn. It's more than just a diet. It's more than just good textbooks. It's family life, and it's also rest. And when a school bus comes into a neighborhood at 6 something in the morning, there's no kid that didn't need another hour or two of sleep, which would prepare them more, and homeschooling provides that ability.
Well, and my concern too is I just feel like when you start it, when you start your day facing a bus ride, I think you're already building in dread. I don't know that I've ever talked to a kid that rides the bus that looks forward to the ride. And I'm not, you can probably find one. So there's probably a kid who loves the bus ride. I think that's unusual. So starting out your day that way, I think does not contribute to setting up for a day of success.
Right.
Because there are other issues that are very real on buses in terms of being bullied, the length of the ride. I mean, I think it's generally a profound waste of time, the time that they spend on the bus. Where we live right now, if our kids attended, our last two sons attended the public school that we are districted for, I think that they would have about a 45-minute one-way ride because we're out on the very edge. We're one of those gerrymandered districts where we have schools closer than the one that we're districted for. And the one that they're districted for, I think that they would have at least a 45-minute bus ride.
Yeah.
And they're not reading on that. They're not sleeping, right? It's just, I don't know what that is positive. I don't know what you can write that down as a positive for.
Well, right. And you know, one of the things that we were talking about in prep for this show is that as a society, we're sleep deprived.
Right.
People
exactly.
are constantly on the go. You know, drinking coffee just to stay awake, not to relax and enjoy these, you know, hot, you know, flavored drinks and so forth. And, you know, it's adding to the insanity when we, as you said, institutionalize kids to train them that forget sleep. You're not going to get enough sleep.
Right.
So just forget that. we're going to force you to get up at crazy, ridiculous hours that are arbitrary, that really don't make sense, and you never get a one-off day when I just need one extra hour of sleep today and then I'll be fine. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Well, but I mean, isn't it ironic, though? I mean, this is the irony. We're asking kids, we're putting them on the bus to get them to school to, you know, cram all of this knowledge into them, and we are simultaneously telling them subtly and subconsciously, just ignore the fact that you need more rest, but learn all this other stuff. We're not giving them time to file that stuff. I remember when we started, and I think this story fits here. I remember when we started, one of our heroes, Chris Davis, was speaking, and he told the story of he was doing math with his son. Do you remember this story?
I do.
He was doing math with his son, and they finished up the lesson, and they were going to take a break, and he told his son, look, let's take about a 10 or 15 minute break, and we'll meet back in here and look at your biology. I'm making up the subject. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. And so Chris and his son, you know, part ways to come back together. And in 15 minutes, Chris starts looking for his son. He couldn't find his son. He calls for him on the front porch, calls for him on the back porch, looks around the room. He gets more and more aggravated, as we tend to do as parents, because...
Where did they go?
Exactly. I told you to be back here and you're not here. And he kept looking around and he couldn't find him until finally he went past the kitchen sink and he looks out of the window above the kitchen sink in his description. And he can see the son that he's looking for sitting on the back of a horse, actually laying down on the back of a horse, just looking up at the sky. And I love the way Chris, the authenticity with which Chris tells the story, because his initial response is every parent's initial response, I think. And it was just like, Dadgum, get in here. I've been calling you. What are you doing on the back of the porch, on the back of the horse? And he said the Holy Spirit just arrested him and just said, wait just a minute. That's exactly where he needs to be. He needs to be right there processing what you just went over, sitting in the peaceful setting of God's creation on the back of his horse, just resting for a moment. It's a beautiful picture. And I remember when our kids... Do you remember when Lily would climb up the tree in the front yard and read up in the top of the tree?
Yeah.
And I can think of several different situations where we've misplaced a kid in our house somewhere only to find them squirreled away.
Just in God's creation. Reading, relaxing, chasing something, but doing something that was actually a greater context for them to learn, love learning, process what they had just learned.
Right.
A combination of all.
Right.
And so often we can accidentally institutionalize our own kids to do the next thing on the list.
Right.
Rather than enjoying God and creation and learning in the moment.
And that's one of the great benefits of home education is we can get up, you know, at a reasonable hour to start our homeschool. And start off the day with joy in our hearts and looking to God. But we can also, in those seasons where we've been involved in theater projects or the boys have done a soccer tournament or we've had something going on at church and we're out later than we would normally, maybe we have company or family here and we stay up later on purpose because it's an unusual circumstance. And we don't get up at the crack of dawn the next day or we don't get up at our regular time, but we get to ebb and flow with life because we can know when our kids need to rest so that they really can take in all that we're trying to teach them and all that they're trying to learn. I don't want to be part of the statistic of being one more sleep-deprived parent. I don't want my kids to be just another sleep-deprived kid standing at the bus stop with loaded down with a heavy backpack. I want my kids to be able to really take in and think about and contemplate what we're discussing and what we're reading and what they're learning.
Right.
And that's best done when they're well rested.
Well, let's give a few examples of, for example, what a homeschooling family can do. So
sure.
If you think about just our family and you can do any kind of model, what's great about homeschooling is you can make it customized to your family.
What works,
but
right.
In our family, we tend to be early risers, even our teenage boys. But I guarantee you, there are plenty of mornings when the boys intend to get up early to go exercise or make a run around the block, and you know what? They don't do it because their bodies just say, I'd rather stay in bed right now.
Right.
And that's fine. and then there's days that we would like to get our breakfast routine started at a certain time in the morning. And, you know, they needed an extra hour of sleep. And right. There are so many times that we have let our teenage boys, in this case, just let them sleep another hour, right. knowing that that could make the day so much better for right. everybody,
right.
rather than forcing them to stay on our schedule.
Right. Yeah, that's not worth it. Well, and I want to say also it's both and, because mm-hmm. the way sure. we're set up, and we'll just take this year as a specific example. So they have a co-op right. that they go to 2 days a week, and we have church on Sunday. And they have a Latin tutor on
Monday.
They have a Latin class on Monday online. So they have things that are time defined. That they, you know, right. they have to leave here at 8:15 on Tuesday, Thursday to get to co-op on time. So it's both and. We have some wiggle room on the other days of the week. They're running track, which means sometimes those meets go late. So we have room to move, and yet there are situations where I know you're exhausted, but you need to get up because this is real life. So I really think the parents need to understand it's both and. It's grace upon grace. It's grace and truth, right? It's, wow, you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn on this day because you don't have a co-op to go to, but this day you have to. I know you're tired, but you need to get up. And I think that is more real life than the strenuous every single day having to do it. I think learning and teaching our kids to be able to listen to their own bodies.
That's right.
And also be punctual when they have committed to something and they've come under someone else's authority in their schedule. I really think we have an opportunity to teach them both and.
Right. We can teach them both and going to the and part, meaning there are plenty of opportunities when you homeschool to make this day unique.
Exactly.
To make this week customized right. based on things that are going on. And so, you know, that's the beauty of homeschooling mm-hmm. is if you know you had a late day on Monday, you can make Tuesday start a little
right.
later.
Right.
If you got everybody to bed on time Tuesday night, okay, then let's make sure we get a good start Wednesday because right. we should have plenty of rest.
Exactly.
And so that's the beauty of it. As parents, you're paying attention to every one of your kids. You know which ones need a little bit more sleep. When you wake them up in the morning, you can tell if Mr. Grumpy's about to get out of bed or if they're doing okay and it's time to just get going with the flow. And and teenagers need the sleep. Young kids need the sleep. So parents, let your kids get the right amount of sleep, enough to be healthy, enough to let their brain learn, take everything in, process it, and actually make more progress than they would with an hour or two or three less sleep each day in the frenzied world that other people are trying to live.
The stressful world. And I'll say, too, I think we have an opportunity when, and you and I both strongly believe in this, I believe in a compassionate dictatorship when kids are young. They don't get to choose what's for dinner. There's a lot of choices they don't get to make because we are in the process of training them in obedience when they're young. And it's both a delight and very demanding because of the needed persistence and consistency that we have in order to achieve that. But I think once they hit junior high and high school, starting to help them learn to listen to their body
right.
in terms of rest. Because just today, one of our daughters who's in college called and she's not feeling well. And she said, Mom, I'm not feeling well. She's learned to listen to her body. There was something she was thinking she was going to go to this weekend, but she's listening to how she's feeling and her stress levels, and she's talking to me, and she's saying, you know, I really think I don't need to go.
It would push my body further than I think I should push it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, and that is the signs of a maturing mm-hmm. exactly. young person. And we have people who don't know how to do that.
Right, they push themselves.
All the time. Because,
and that's the, you know, fear of missing out.
Right.
And that's exactly what our daughter's going through right now. She'd like to go to this event.
Right.
It's a good event to go to, but her body's saying, you're going to max yourself out.
Right.
And Monday, you'll be dead in the water if you do try to do more than you really should right now.
So while it is tragic that teaching your children to be able to listen to their bodies in terms of how much rest they need is not on anyone's scope and sequence and not in any book, What I Ought to Know in Kindergarten, it is a very real life skill, teaching your children that. And you give it to them without them even asking when they're young. And then in homeschooling, you can help them learn what it's like to listen to the signals of their body and to learn how much rest they need and how much stress they can maintain.
Well, as always, these conversations could go on and on, but it's time to bring this one to a close. Thank you all for listening. We hope you will join us again next time. And if you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends or send us an email. That would be podcast@apologia.com. We'd love to hear from you. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. We want to thank our sponsor, Apologia Educational Ministries. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.